God's alive. Approach thy word, O Lord, Grant us grace again, O Father, as you bring to our remembrance, O Lord, the things we have learned. And be careful, O Lord, of the hour that we live in, that we should always remember, Father, as thy word said, to be watchful and prayerful, Lord. And, O Lord, always be in supplication before you. So, Father, we commit this time to you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you break down the word of life to us. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. To the book of Amos, chapter 3. I just want to finish off this subject here. For the sake of many who don't seem to remember the things that they have learned, or for those of us here especially have no idea what the message is all about. Alright, I think we are all very familiar with this verse, Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophet. Now, it has always been that the people in the end-time message very carelessly just quote what Brother Branham quoted from the Bible, and even without an understanding, just regurgitate. Remember one thing, Brother Isaac always said is, and how we all need to know. And remember that Brother Branham was a messenger of God sent with a message that points us back to the Word of God. There's nothing else other than this simple message, just to point us back to the Word of God. Come out of the system and get back to the Word of God. Back to the Apostolic Father's faith, back to the original, back to Pentecost, how everything started back in the beginning. Is that right? So we need to remember this, and therefore as a messenger, and that he was an Old Testament type, as you always know that he was in the spirit of Elijah, so he spoke like a prophet of the Old Testament caliber. So he would quote the scripture like as if he was out there as a, you know, Old Testament type and the spirit of Elijah. And that's the way he spoke, and so we need to understand that. You know, and you don't expect John the Baptist to behave like Peter or John of the New Testament, Apostle John, or like Paul, because he was an Old Testament prophet, and they have a certain kind of a spirit given to them to project themselves in that way. You know, or you take, for example, an evangelist. The evangelist will speak very different when they preach from a teacher. You know, so you understand that. Right? So there is a certain spirit given to a certain servants of God, the way that how they will project themselves. So, Abraham quote this verse very often, everybody says, you know, nobody knows how to interpret the Bible, nobody knows the truth of the Bible, nobody knows the revelation except God's prophet. God knows, the word of God comes only to the prophet. And they will quote this verse very commonly. We know in the Old Testament you read Daniel, Zechariah, Jeremiah, all these other prophets, you know, the Bible said the word comes to Isaiah. And then it was said, stand on our feet, or son of man, say this, prophesy this. Yeah, because they carry a message to prophesy this. But I want you to look at this verse that has always been so misused. Abraham called it, yes. But what was Abraham trying to show us? Look at it carefully, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secret unto his servants the prophet. Now, it says here, secrets. But the end of message, believer and preacher say, oh, nobody knows the doctrine, nobody knows the revelation of God except the prophet. So, you don't know doctrine except the prophet. Now, the Bible here does not talk about doctrine, talk about secret. Now, that is something you need to know. So, in case if you meet someone else and happen to discuss with you, I don't know how many of you actually do, you know, go online and look at a forum and or share with somebody, especially the people in the end-time message, the different ones, you know. If you do know them, of course, I mean, not here among us group here, but if you were to go to Africa, like Nigeria, for example, Brother Nice in Nigeria, or even though Zambia, Uganda, they mix so freely with all of these end-time message churches, people, whether in schools or in work, because there are a lot of believers out there in those countries. So they were, you know, argue and talk about the message. You know. So I want you to know, he says that the Lord God will do nothing but he reveal his secret. What secret? His plan, his purpose, the thing that he wants to do. It's nothing about doctrines here. Let me tell you something here. In the Old Testament time, there's nothing about doctrines. It's about the law and what the prophet says. Only when you have come to Calvary, then you have doctrine. Why? You look back and you look forward. You look back to understand about God. You look forward to understand about God. You look back to see what comes, what went before us. What was God doing? Then we look forward, okay, so this is what God did. Now what is that for the teaching of God concerning this issue, that issue, this doctrine, that doctrine? But in the Old Testament time, what is there? There's only the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They don't have to talk about doctrines of God. They know that it is just about Yahweh. You know, why do we need to have doctrines today? Why? Even the early church started, they don't even have a problem. You know, they just started with the Jewish, right? They don't have a problem about Godhead. Do they? They don't have a problem. It's only when the church went into the church age, into the dark age, when Catholicism came into being, Catholicism put God as three persons. Now you need to understand about Godhead, the doctrine, who is God and what is God. Is he one, two, or three? Four or five? That we need to know now, isn't it? You see. So, actually, when you talk about doctrine, it begins all at Calvary. You see. Who is this man called Jesus who was hanging upon the cross? So, when you take Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealed the secret unto his servants, the prophet. That's what God has been revealing to his servants, the prophet, in the Old Testament, the different ones. What he was planning, what he wanted to do with Israel, how he's going to deal with them, what he's going to come, the Messiah, and what about the kingdom, and things like that. You know. You see? So, being on this side of the cross, we can look back and say, oh, how God chose Abraham. And how the prophecy comes. The promised son. Is that right? Back in those days, they said, oh, yes, God promised Abraham a son, right? And the third was Isaiah, of course, they believe it was Isaac. Then it was Jacob. Then it was the tribe of Israel. You see, but we know that the son that was promised, as Paul later on tells us, then we come to the understanding of it. It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. The Jew man, those that doesn't even understand. Remember? When Christ came, they rejected him. That's how Paul had to preach the doctrine, teach the doctrine. He has to do it. To be a people understand who was this man called Christ. It's all about the man. That's why the Bible is divided into two portions. The Old and the New Testament. Right in between the Old and New Testament hangs the cross. One looking back in the past and one look into the future. You see. So, don't make misunderstood this word. Let us go to 2 Timothy. Alright, so remember Amos 3:7 is dealing with a certain group of people and God is dealing with Israel. So he will not reveal anything. His secret, what he wants to do, except through his servants, the prophet, who will carry that the revelation to the children of Israel, what God wanted to do, what God intends to do. Alright. So now we look at 2 Timothy. And we have chapter 3, 2 Timothy, pardon, Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Now look here what it says here, alright? He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now you see that. All scripture, back in those days, in the Old Testament, the first five books were written by Moses. And they were written when Moses was out there in the desert. Right? Yes or no? Huh? And how many years was that? From the day of Adam to the day Moses wrote the first five books. 2,000 years have passed. More than 2,000 have passed. Yes, from the beginning of the day of Adam, more than 2,000 years have passed before he sat down and wrote the first five books. Of course, the older book was Job, which was believed to have been written in days of Abraham. You see? You know? But all that which came, the Old Testament book, there were the prophecy of the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Habakkuk, Ezra, Nehemiah, all those others. Do you understand that? But yeah, when all these were compiled, even the New Testament, and that's why Paul then said, looking backwards, he says, all scriptures is given by inspiration and is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So now, Paul says, when he goes back, when he looks back, he can take some of what the prophet said, some prophetic words Isaiah said, and he can show you a doctrine. But doctrine comes from where? It must be fulfilled. Who? In Christ Jesus. You see, he can go back and say, about Christ, he will go back to say how did God plan this for you, and this is what you are seeing now. You know, anyway, you understand what I'm saying? Doctrine has to be related to that central figure or the theme of the Bible, and that's Christ. When Christ came to fulfill, then you can look back in the scripture and say, oh, this is a fulfillment. So now we can understand, I will teach you the doctrine of what God was showing the people of Israel, and now this is what was fulfilled. Then Paul even said something. He said, even Paul received revelation that was not even mentioned in the Old Testament. Right? You all know that, huh? He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Remember Paul said that? Yes. You see. And then what Peter wrote about certain things. And then we see Jude wrote about certain things, tracing back to the days of Enoch, and how he prophesied the Lord will come at 10,000 of his saints. You see, all because it's centered on Christ. Then here we have the book of Revelation, the last book. It's all about something which was not in the Old Testament written at all, but it can be traced back to what plan what God was showing to the servants, the prophets. And yet all that which John saw was futuristic of us too. Do you understand? And yet what the whole book of Revelation, what is it called? The revelation of Jesus Christ. It is all about Christ. So when we talk about Amos 3:7, the Lord will do nothing. I say he first revealed his secrets to his servants of God. Secrets of what he wanted to do. That's what you see in the Old Testament. You know, so program deliver us a message to come back to the word. So if you want to see anything about any secret, it has to be in the Bible anyway. Huh? Now, take for example, they said the seal book, the revelation of the seventh seal. Yes, we know the revelation of the seventh seal. We know that before Brother Branham came, theologians, preachers, Bible students have looked into it to try to figure out, to find out what on earth are those four horsemen. And it is well interpreted normally that those were physical, literal interpretation, not spiritual. Is that right? So everybody is it, the picture is recording, huh? Don't want to get lost on that. So, but when Brother Branham came along, it was the Holy Spirit that revealed to him, okay, that those visions of John, they were not physically to be revealed, or literally, as what we see, wars, famines, religion, death, things like that, or pestilences. But they are dealing with the Catholic Church. Is that right? That when this revelation is given to us, it's when God reveals this revelation to him. Well, it's not about a doctrine. It's about a prophecy that is unfolding. And we can say, of course, it is a doctrine because we are learning it. Is that right? And yet, who was it centered upon? These four horsemen that rides forward, okay, the first four seal. We know that it is with the Antichrist spirit. But why is there Antichrist spirit? It must have first be a Christ before there can be an Antichrist. So it's still based on the doctrine of who Christ is, or the man who was hanging up there on the cross on Mount Calvary. See? So Brother Lang, yes, he came and the seal was revealed to him. And from the time when the seal was revealed to him, you know one thing? Everything flows through the rest of the Bible. Because we do not understand those seven seals, we do not know the church ages, how to look at it. But now we understand the whole book of Revelation is an open book. You know? And so God said, come back. And that's why God showed him these four horsemen and the rest of the seal as well, so that we, it will place us, believer, where we stand today, where we are today. I can tell you one thing, if that seal were not revealed to us, we wouldn't know where we stand. But now we know where we stand. We are no longer in a system. We are now in the Word. And that's why we must get into the Word. On Christ the solid rock I stand. That's what it's all about. Every doctrine, every prophecy, teaching, everything must be centered on the man called Christ Jesus. If it isn't, then we fall apart. Alright? Okay, then we all say this now here to the book of 2 Peter 1:19. It's always been the tapes of Brother Branham. How many of you are still reading the spoken word book? Okay, good. Alright? A spoken word book is there, so take a book or two and read it. Alright? Because sometimes the Brother Branham says certain things when you read it, when Brother Branham was preaching, there are certain things that, you know, it can be a blessing, something that, oh, it will enlighten you. Alright? Now, people think that Brother Gunn, you forbid people to read the book of Brother Branham. Or that you forbid people to listen to the tape of Brother Branham. That's a lot of things that have been passed around, rumors to create fear in people that don't listen to Richard Gunn. Oh yes, there have been a lot of going on like this. There are a lot of liars, people who fear. Let me tell you what happened. I received an email with some document attached. And I was not surprised to read in those things that was going on in India. You know Dalton Bruce? You see what had Dalton Bruce, and then on my website, how he attacked me. You know, he's a man who, a preacher who preached about other preachers and called other preachers heretics because he doesn't agree with them. Okay? And he is a heretic hunter. And every preacher is a heretic, as long as you don't lie with him. Then he has, had a disciple, Ronald Watson, which of course is here on the website, also was a disciple of Dalton Bruce. Now over the last few years, things happened. So when I received this document, oh my, the person who wrote it exposed what was going on in his church, his wife, his secretary, his daughters, Ronald Watson, what is going doing in India, and everybody is calling everybody name. And among those people who realized what Northern Brew was doing, they call him Dragon Brute. Not Northern Bruce, Dragon Brute. And they use all kinds of names, and you know, and all. Real bad. Because a lot of things that was going on in the church that was not right. A lot of immorality that was going on in the church. Among even the daughters and elders of the church, and all sorts of them was going. I wouldn't be surprised, and I always say that even the disciples themselves, the minister themselves were doing it. And that is very common. And the thing is, always believe this, that when something went wrong in your life, you better go back to the beginning and start it all over again. If you have a wrong doctrine, you better go to the beginning and start it all over again. You have to. This is not just the advice of Brother Branham. It has been a well-known advice. You went, the thing goes wrong, you start over again. Huh? If you fix a machine that doesn't work right, you better start over again. Not somewhere in the beginning trying to fix it. Go back to the beginning and see what went wrong. You know. Because these ministers, many of them, they refuse to get themselves right. And they try to cover up themselves. What do? They bring about more false doctrine. More excuses. And then over time they get themselves trapped in a corner. And they are trapped. They cannot get out of it. That is very true. I want to tell you this. You see. And that's what Amos happened to Amos too. The brother over and kept on giving his testimony. I will have it post very soon. You know. How that he was caught up in this and that and Amos, and then he realized, no, I'm not going to go through it. You know. But if you have a sincerity, but at least this brother he kept now. I like his approach. You know, he was quick to say, brother, I made such a big mistake. I realize this is wrong. You know. And he got right with God. And God had to deal with him. If you want God to really deal with you, you get right with God when you do things wrong. Whether you hate somebody, you dislike somebody. You know. Not because of what he did. Now, I have over the years, many people did a lot of things to me. I don't like this, the spirit that they possess. You know, I try to make them understand this is not the way. But no. The more they try to cover it up, they get trapped in the corner. And see what happens. You know. And if you have been to Amos website, you will see what happened. All that nonsense about the supernatural light was a flashlight. Firing against the whiteboard. And he called it supernatural light. And people in the outside denomination is laughing. think that, you know, when you get someone like that, they think that everybody who believes in Brother Abraham are like that. And that's exactly what happened in Singapore back then. 30 years ago, when the pastor put in, man who think that he is a real man of God, trying to expose me to the public as a cult leader. You see, you are a Branhamite. I said, what do you mean by a Branhamite? You believe Brother Branham must be a Branhamite. And same thing over there in America. Don Kenneth, who was now anti Branham and anti everything that Branham stand for, and he said, I'm a Branhamite. He says, no. So you are a Branham because you follow Brother Branham. So you know that is where it is. When you bring a reproach to the Word of God, everybody who is under the same roof get affected. You know. So what do we stand for today? Do we stand for the Word of Truth, or do we stand for some crazy, nonsensical revelation that looks good, sounds right? If you don't have a scripture to back it up, then we better run away from it. So what is the tape? Is the tape the full word of God? What is the full word? This is Genesis, but the end of it, the tape of Brahman is the full word. Really? Oh, the tape of Brahman is the revealed word. What do you mean by revealed word? Do you understand the difference between Rhema and Logos? The Greek word. Rhema is the written word. Okay, it's written. It's just called written word. But in the written word of God, there is life, obviously. Okay, so what is Logos? The Logos is that which is revealed of what was written. Huh? So this word, the Rhema of God's word, though it contains life, when you read it, if it is not revealed to you, you have nothing. That life doesn't come to you. Do you understand that? Unless, until it is revealed to you, there can be no life in you. No life is in the Word. So now, who, when you say the full Word, what is the full Word? 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shine in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Yeah, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God, or the preacher that preached the word of God, when it's true, we have more sure word. Well, until you do well to take heed as unto a light that shine in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Yeah, here we are living in the state now, in the world today. It's a very dismaying day, right? We are living in a dark world today. But we have the word of God, more sure the prophecy that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we take it spiritually, when we were in denomination, we were in darkness. We were there in the system of darkness. But when the message came, the more sure word of prophecy, the word that Brother Abraham delivered to us, it come out of her, my people, when the word was revealed to us to get out. So when we get out, we go into the word of God, and there in the word of God, we are coming face to face with the full word of God, and that's Christ. He is the full word. Brother Abraham is not the full word. His word is not the full word. Paul's word is not the full word. They are part of the word. That's what Paul said. I know in part, I prophesy in part. I know in part, therefore I preach in part. I don't have everything. Neither do you have everything. That's why we need to study the scripture and continue to grow. Is that right?
Yes.
You know. That's why we behold Christ face to face. The more that we see Him face to face every day, the more that we spend time with Him, the more that we grow, the more that we are absorbing the fullness of His Word into our life. Every one of us is a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the full Word of God. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which you have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. So we don't stay in the dark. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. In Him is no tradition. You know, sometimes a religion has such a captivating force. Huh? You know how people... You know, when I was young, mind you, don't laugh at it. When I was young, I was captivated by the Malay people during their New Year period, Hari Raya. And how the young men will wear the sarong with that thing, you know, and then wear the, what do you call that?
Songkok.
Huh? Songkok, yes. I might wear the dress because it is very nice to look at. You know, so from that time young, I wear sarong. I'm still wearing sarong today. And even when, but at that time I wear a songkok. I even bought a songkok and wear. You know, so, it's a, though it may not be a religious thing, right? It may not be a religious thing, you know. It just looks nice. But I was thinking that if I should buy a skull cap. Now, in Singapore, you can go to the synagogue and you can buy a skull cap, you know. Because it looks like, well, you know, you're a Jew, you know, a skull cap make you more wise or something, I don't know. You know, and then you see people carrying this rosary. You know, and that's why when I was young, I was fascinated by, before I was truly, born again, and mom went to the Catholic church and with the sister and kid, and we went along. We don't know. We have kids buying white candles and light the candles. I don't know some novena, some kind of mass. I don't know what event that was. And then they saw all this rosy, and then there were those that glow in the dark. So we were fascinated. We bought one. We put a light and then under the blanket and look. We're all kids. And it just looks nice. This is how they pray like this. Then I realized these are all just ritualistic thing. It's a religious thing that makes people look so good. You can see people walking sometime, especially in certain countries, you will hold them in the train and they look at, this guy is very religious. I haven't seen one man in Choa Chu Kang, he always wear cowboy hat and everything, cowboy buckle, Really cowboy, all cowboy suit out there, and then and he's a Catholic, and he was in the train, he will always hold the rosary and he prayed. So, you see how this religious spirit got hold of people. But people don't realize they are in darkness. All this is just nothing but ritualistic thing. Do you understand what I'm saying, huh? And people go to church on Sunday carrying a Bible like this, they feel very religious going to church. It gives you a religious feeling. Some people do that, don't you? Yeah, I know that. And especially young men who think that they're handsome will comb their hair and dress like this and walk like a handsome, like a model or something like that, because they have that face. Or prettier young girl too, also vain. Mind you, all these are just a spirit that people have got caught in, Such a young man, I don't know where young men, how many young men play computer game. Those days, the Nintendo, the gadget, even today, with all the cell phone, they play, walking down the road, crossing the pedestrian crossing. You just see how that, and the same thing with Christianity, the faith that we have. That's why here we said, God is light, in Him is no darkness. When you come to God, don't ever act religious. Right? Yes. Have the spirit of agape, love, genuine. Don't act it. Be genuine about that love. And we know that agape overcomes every other thing. Alright? Go to 1 Corinthians 11. See what Paul said here. Here we have an anti-message. Oh yes. How many sects are there in this anti-message? How many groups are there in this anti-message? One message alone. Back in the 70s, 80s, I've been faced and challenged and Goliath came against me, so to speak. Try to put me down. Radigan, how can you interpret the Bible? The word of the Lord comes only to the prophet. You just say what he said and teach the people what he said. Then you don't need the Bible then. Am I not right? You can forget about the Bible, bring all his book here. Like the brother over in Cape Town told me. The preachers come out with the book of Brother Abraham for the whole sermon. He read through it and he explained something here and there. One book you can read 1.5 hours. Then after that everybody's gone. Can you sit in that kind of a service and listen to that? And he is interpreting to you what he thinks Brother Abraham said. Huh? And then told me, Brother God, how can you interpret the Bible? Who are you? Are you smarter than the prophet? Are you greater than the prophet? What stupidity is that? Paul told Timothy to study the Word of God. Isn't he? Yes. When you study, you must learn. Learning, you need to interpret and find out what he's saying. So, Paul, the first church has mentioned, telling Timothy to study. And when Timothy studied, here comes Peter. Who tell you to study? Who do you think you are better than Paul? Or better than me? I mean, what kind of mentality will it be even to talk like this? Huh? We are here in the Word of God. Let us look into what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. For there must also be heresies among you, that which are approved may be made manifest among you. You know what heresies are here? Huh? This heresy means different opinion, different ideas, groups of different ideas among you. There's only one message. Any minister can break up. You want to interpret the Bible. The denomination, look at how many denominational groups there are. And everyone claims they know the Bible, how to interpret. And we know only God's word comes to the prophet. That's why we must obey the prophet. I said, okay, how many groups are there in anti-message now? How many groups are there? How many sect, how many heretic groups are there? It's not because the denomination misinterpret, therefore we also misinterpret. We are not in the system. We come into the light, we are learning. Is it not true? We are learning. If we are wrong, God will have shown us where we are wrong. We can look in the world proper now because we are not tied to a system. And you know why I threw all my theological books out of my home. Because when I am not under a theological system, I'm not thinking the way denomination think anymore. Because if you're Methodist, Anglican, Episcopalian, whatever you are, you tend to think the way you are when you are in the system. Is that not right? That's not right. Exactly. Now, when you come into the message, and every one of them holds to the codes of Brother Abraham and interpret the Brother Abraham's code, are they not under a system? Are they not getting into a creed? Religiously. Now the Catholics have their creeds. Pentecost have their creeds. Anglican, Methodist, all. So they learn because of that creed. That dogma that they hold to. So here we are, brother and sister, that has Paul said, studied to show themselves approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Writing divine the word of God. Is that right? I'm not ashamed to divine the word of God. You understand that? And every one of you have the right to study. And if you are not sure what you can always work it, come together on Friday. You can ask a question, we look into it and find out and it's where the scripture should be and how it should be interpreted. Because the scripture will interpret its own self. Is that right? You see. So, that's what we are seeing today. There's a heretics in the anti-message people. Galatians 5:20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Oh, hatred. Ah, sometimes you see the hatred. That's why when this person, I don't know who he was, sent me the email with the father attached. Oh, the hatred they have. Got Gordon Bruce and Ronald Watson and the sister, the secretary. Oh my. People calling people's name. You know. How terrible really are. Variance, emulation, wrath, strife, addiction, heresies. 2 Peter and chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who probably bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh, Brother Branham. You know the way that they cry out. Yes. Is the absolute. And all that. They bring in them damnable heresy. And I don't know why these people stand at the last day when they stand before the Lord. Huh? How many of the people of this preacher have taken seriously Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. I wonder how many of these preachers really look at it seriously. You know Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23? Many will come to me in the last and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that in your name. Done what a fool work in your name. I preached to 1,000 in your name. I heal the sick in your name. In your name comes a devil. And Jesus will look them in the face and the eye and says, I never knew you. Get lost from here. No? You workers of lawlessness, iniquity. Oh my. Just because you can cast out devil in Jesus' name means that you are a servant of God and you are bound for heaven? No. Because you see, Jesus can have only one thing in his mind. Like a husband have only one thing in his mind when he's married. To have intimacy with the wife. Christ wanted to have intimacy with us. Am I right? Right? Not a fasting time. We need to get into real relationship with Christ. That's what Jesus says to this. I never knew you. I have no knowledge with you. I have nothing to do with you. Just imagine that. How many preachers read that? Or maybe they have read that, they just closed their eye. Oh my. Alright. You know, Brabham said, when people ask questions, and even in the sermon, he said, I don't know everything. I don't know all the answers. You know that, huh? He doesn't know everything. And yet, the son of the prophet and other can say that Brother Graham knows everything. All your questions, you can find your answer in the tapes. And even Brother Graham said, God don't tell his prophet everything. Just what he wants the prophet to know. Because everyone prophesying part. That is true. I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything except God. 1 Corinthians 13. When we talk about the prophet, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9, 10 and 12. Alright? For we know in part we prophesy, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Verse 12. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I have known. Now in verse 10, but then when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is perfect? When the perfect is come. Now, denomination, Presbyterian church, that's what I know. The big Presbyterian church in Singapore, and like many others, they interpret this verse that the perfect is already come because we have the full word of God here. This 66 book is the perfect. It's come. So we don't need apostles. We don't need prophet. How come we only need evangelist, pastor, and teacher? I don't understand that. Because they know that the Old Testament, the prophets wrote the book. New Testament, practically, the apostle wrote it. So now it's perfect. So we don't need them anymore. We don't need these two ministries anymore. So they said the prophet is come, and that is the Bible. That's not it. The perfect EO means when he who is full, who is complete, the one that is the perfection, and that is Christ, when he comes, then we don't need this anymore. We don't need this anymore when he comes. But why he has not come yet, this is what we still need. To understand a little here, a little there, of all that he wants to show us, to learn. But to the entire message people, the prophet has come. Who is that? Brother Branham's message. All the tapes, all the books. He brought us the fullness, the full word, the prophetic word. However they want to describe it, they are just bringing in heresy. I want you to know. John chapter 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while you shall see me, shall not see me. And again a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Yeah. That's the perfect. Christ is the perfect. He said, you know what? When it comes to, it's come to you. He will guide you and show you to, and lead you onto all truth. He will take of what I show him and give it to you. So you see, the whole thing is all about Christ himself. Everything that we need to know is about Christ himself. And when Brother Brown came, he's doing the same thing. The Holy Spirit showed him something, and he's all glorifying Christ, not himself. Alright. Now, God, we talk about the ark. What is the ark? What is an ark? An ark is a box. Right? Noah's ark is a box. The float on the water. You will say it's a boat. An ark means a box. So Noah's ark is a box that float on the water, because in those days you don't need the rudder. The rudder, huh? You don't need that. You don't need any motor. Okay, or any large carbon sticks or things like that. You don't need it. It's just a box to keep the people dry and safe when the water comes. What about the Ark of the Covenant? It's a box. So what's in the Ark of the Covenant? The three things that was inside, the two tablets of the law. What else? The pot of manna. Right? And one other thing is the rod of Aaron. Three things in the box. And over it, covered up with the lid. And that's where the blood, or it's called a mercy lid, where the blood of the Lamb once a year on the Day of Atonement will be sprinkled on that. So the ark is a box. And the box gives you safe. Give you inside, dry, height, inside. So now, when we look into all this that the Bible talks about Noah's ark, Noah was given a message. And he told the people out there, the Canaanites, the mixed population, you know, they live in two different, communities. One in Chochukang, one in Limchukang. Whatever you want to call it. And they were, of course, mixed together in trade, right? Oh, the Lord is sending a flood. Of course, nobody believed it. And he stopped building a box. They built the ark. And then what happened? There was a door, of course. There were windows and windows so they could skylight. And there was a door, a big door. Well, for those who believe, they went in. If they could, if they want to. Well, even the animal went into my door. Everybody stood there and laughed and thinks nothing about it. And I believe that Noah said, the Lord is sending rain. Why don't you get in like the animals? Some of them said, that must be Noah's magic. I don't know how he hypnotized those animals to go in. Maybe he gave them some kind of a herbs, you know. And they're so drunk and they'll just move in and they just go in. And maybe some of them believe, yeah, I should get into, you know. Then the other guy said, you're crazy? You want to follow this madman? Whatever was going on in the community in those days. But Noah went in and his family. The door remained open for 7 days. 7 days of grace and perfection waiting out. God just wait. Full of patience. 7 days. But the rain wasn't coming. And everybody outside laughing. You see, wasn't ready, Noah. But even though there when Noah was preached on, Noah said, yeah, I believe Noah. I believe everything that Noah said. But you can say you believe, but you don't get into the ark. What's the use? So when the door was closed, and the dream drops start to come, it's too late for anyone to get in. Because when God locks, when God closed the door, nobody opened. When God shut it, nobody opened. When God let it open, nobody can shut it until the time comes when He shut it. When He shut it, no matter how you try to bang and pull it down, it won't come down for you to get in. So what is the ark? Brother Branham is the ark. Yeah, that's what people say. Because his message is the ark. The message is not the ark, brother and sister. The message points to the ark. Noah's message points to the safety of the ark. Isn't that right? There's coming a destruction. Get into the ark for safety. Noah is not the ark. Brother Branham is not the ark. For those who say Brother Branham is the ark, I can tell you are preaching heresy. And you are going to be judged. If you do not know what you are preaching, keep your mouth shut. That's why one preacher can come out to the pulpit every time he was at a convention. You know, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a spokesman, a mouthpiece of the prophet. I don't have a message. Only the prophet has a message. One of the preachers was sitting down there, feeling like yelling at him, and he said, if you don't have my message, you better sit down there. The way you open your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? People are running around without a message. And if somebody is smart. But again, he said, we shouldn't quote the prophet. I didn't say you shouldn't quote the prophet. I said, you quote the prophet's quotes to make doctrines out of it and give you your own interpretation. So don't worry about you, brother again. You should not quote Paul and Peter to teach doctrine. I said, but that's scripture. That is inspired of God, impressed. Oh, Brother Branham's word are also inspired. You see how they want to make Brother Branham just like that? We are in this last day, and God has called out at the song we sang. God has left the system, and now people are creating a system in the message. What's the difference? That's why when Paul came and started preaching to the Gentiles, and after a while, some of them say, we are not Paul. And now it says, we are Peter. And Paul says, what? Is Christ divided? You are creating sectarian group. And that's what God hates. You know. Alright. All the prophets in the Old Testament, all the apostles in the New Testament, all of them possess a portion of the Word of God. They preach in part, they only know in part, therefore they could only preach in part. And every prophet, every apostle, every servant of God, even you, you're sitting here, your life, your word must point to Christ. Huh? You don't point to yourself. You point to Christ. Brother never point to himself. A messenger don't point to himself. Messenger is the signpost. And the signpost always point to something. Don't you know that? Revelation 10:7. Oh, this is another portion here. Revelation 10:7. All we know so well. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophet. The mystery of God, not mysteries. Yes, I know problems, many times are mysteries. And they always tell me, Brother God, problems are mysteries. I know he's a mystery. But my Bible says singular, the mystery of God. Not all mysteries, as to refer to all mysterious hidden things that God has in the Bible being revealed. It's not that. Problem said when the seventh angel is big universe message, all mysteries will be revealed. He said in that way. Yes, I know. Problem, if God allowed problem to say things like this, is telling you, what will you stand for? Do you stand for just what a prophet just uttered like that? Or you look to what already has been given to you as the in-breath word of God? Right? When Paul was preaching, and those spirit, they did not just listen to every word of Paul and say, Amen, 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 Amen. They went to look into the scripture and find out those things were so. Is that right? They want to make sure that it's there in the Bible. And that's true. Everything the problem uttered, we need to find out whether it's there in the Bible. For he himself said that if there's not in the Bible, in the Word of God, don't believe it. Because he himself said, I make mistakes too. For goodness sake, we all make mistakes. But we have to look into the Bible the way God will show us. We shall not fear to approach the Word of God. Some people do have a lot of fear when they approach the Word of God. Why are you fearful about the Word of God? Unless you have sinned against the Lord. They're not even read this Word. Then you better go on your knees and pray. Right? It's true. So what is this mystery? The mystery of God that had been declared in the Old Testament to those prophets of old. Not the New Testament, but the Old Testament. What is that mystery? Ephesians 2. The Bible we interpret is own. The mystery of God is not the mystery of Christ. God revealed. As many people will say. The brother Branham came, he revealed the mystery of God, and that's the mystery of Christ. God revealed. Huh? The mystery of God is Christ revealed. But Paul already been preaching who Christ was. Peter had been preaching who Christ was. So how come it's only revealed in the days of Abraham, this end time? So those in churches before us, they don't know even who know who Christ was. Something is wrong. What is this mystery of Christ? Ephesians 2:11. It says here, therefore remember that you, now this is written to the Ephesian Christian. They are Gentiles. Alright? Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, which is a Jew, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, and now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that is, between the Jew and the Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contains in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, then and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grow unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word. Watch that. That's what Paul said. Paul being a Jew, sent to the Gentile, and he's talking to the Gentile, alright? If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, Gentiles, how that by revelation, you see the revelation? He make known unto me the mystery. See the mystery? The mystery of God, Revelation 10:7. Okay, as I wrote for a few words, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentile should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am last and the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men know and see what is the fellowship of the mystery of God, that is, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is that? So what is this mystery? The mystery was shown to the Old Testament prophet. How the Gentile world come into the gospel that was given to the Jew. And this was revealed to Paul. Say, I know this mystery. It was given to me. Because there was only one gospel given to the Jew. And there are enmity between the Jew and the Gentiles. How did the Jew call you Gentile dogs? Right? But God has broken down the wall of partition, the middle of war, cut it so that you will become one together because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was already in the plan of God. Yes. The secret that was hidden. That's why Amos 3:7. The secret that was hidden in the Old Testament. Let us go to another verse. Romans 16. And 25:26. Now to him, still Paul speaking to the Gentile. Now to him there is the power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul's gospel, you see. Paul must be very proud. Sometimes I always look at Paul, he's kind of proud, huh? My gospel, you know. Not the gospel of Christ, my gospel. But he was eloquent because he had that revelation that he had taken this gospel of Christ to the Gentile because God showed it to him, which Peter did not preach, whereas all the apostles did not preach because they don't see the way he saw it, how that God used him to take the gospel to the Gentile, that the Gentile world be grafted into their olive tree. Alright. So he said, according to him, there's a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You see that? Okay. But now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophet, see the scripture of the prophet, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, have made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The scripture of the prophet, the secret was revealed to the prophet. They prophesied about it. Don't you know that? Genesis 17. We can see now in the Old Testament scripture that was hidden there. Genesis 17 verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee. Now that's a mystery there, really. A father of many nations, not a father of one nation. How can it be possible that a man be a father of many nations? I said, it must be spiritual nation of people. And because of the kingdom of God, there is the nation of Chinese, the nation of Indian, the nations of Sri Lankan, nation of Filipino. Is that right? Amen. Sure. You know, and so you sit on here. Okay, let's go to another one. Isaiah 42. Now if we don't have the scripture to interpret scripture, we don't know. We can only hear, we can only get what this preacher is trying to tell you, what Brother was trying to say. And they don't even understand what Brother was saying in the first place, interpreting Brother Abraham the way he spoke. Alright, Isaiah 42 verse 6. And I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand I will keep thee. Who is he speaking to? Remember, it is Israel, the Jew. And give thee for the covenant of the people, for the light of the Gentiles. Or the light to the Gentiles. I give you a covenant. He's talking to the Jew, huh? Alright? Remember? I call you in righteousness, and hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for the covenant of thy people, for a light to the Gentiles. So, Noah is already seeing that there is also what Isaiah knows, that through Israel a light was shine unto the Gentiles. Remember, the oracles of God came to us, Gentiles, through the Jews. Actually, we are second class people. But you know what? God blinded the Jew, and we are temporarily the first class. Alright, then after God will go back to Israel again. You see, I mean, it's the grace of God. That's the way He works. That's the secret plan of God. Why He do the way He did all these things all those years past. Can you tell God, that's not fair? What is fairness? Of all the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, what happened? I mean, they were all born from the three sons. From Noah and his wife. But how come one of them is such a rascal? In the family here, every one of us too, we have a family. Me, I have brothers. We have five brothers and one sister. And we are all different. Some of us had some adventure for a while, and Brother Henry, and then came back. After he enjoyed himself. See? Alright. Some of us, no. Some of us, they go this way and that way, they come back. But if God is watching over us, if we are His elect, He will deal with us. True, He will deal with us. You know? I know of some of you here, you may be just the only believer in your family. In the truth. The other, your brother and sister, they all want nothing to do with it. You know. You can see how God works. I mean, His mercy to perform, His grace to perform. And look at Brother Pierre. Of all his brother, he came to the truth. Then now his brother, Tony, is coming to the truth. And God deal with Brother Pierre's wife. Then God now dealt with Brother Tony's wife. And prayerfully, they are praying for the other brother and sister to see also. You know. So God's way of it. The thing is, that when God shows us mercy, receive it. God shows us grace, take it. Alright? 49:6. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, "It is a right thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for the light to the Gentile, that thou might be my salvation unto the end of the earth." See that? I really can't like this verse. You know, God has preserved Israel. Are you looking at it? Chapter 49, verse 6. "I will also give thee for the light to the Gentile, that thou may be my salvation unto the end of the earth." And it is true, that Israel is the salvation of the world. Huh? In many things, not only just spiritual things. Look at the thing that they have, we do research in. Medical field, scientific field, lots of things. You know. Israel always has stood for truth, even though they might be blinded to the gospel. Of course, today everybody, the nations are saying that Israel is getting mad. We'll see. Chapter 16, Isaiah and verse 3. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Do you know why you find Isaiah all this about Gentile? Because Isaiah is just like the Bible, 66 chapter. And if you read all this, sort of corresponds to all the 66 books of the Bible. Alright? Okay. Okay, right now we have the message. And what is important is, having heard the message, we come into Christ Jesus. as John the Baptist pointed to Christ, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And how many disciples left John? Of all, I don't know how many disciples John had, but only two left him and followed Christ. The moment that John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." Now, we know that John did not force his disciple. He just pointed. And those of Revelation followed. And what happened to after the church started later on, Paul went to Ephesus and found a group, you know, of believers. And he asked them, "Unto what were you baptized? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So, "No, we never heard of it." "Unto what were you baptized?" "Oh, we were baptized according to John's baptism, you know, and because Apollo was the one who taught us that." Huh? So Apollo was the disciple of John, and Paul. Apollo did not follow Jesus Christ. You know. And all those who did not follow the instruction that John gave, then you're going to miss out. Now, the message that God gave us, a simple, straightforward message, like John the Baptist. I know John the Baptist came a lot of messages, right? I mean, we talk about these messages. He rebuilt the Pharisees, he rebuilt King Herod, you know, right? He even rebuilt the people of all things too. And he was out there preaching. Huh? And so, there is only one message. "There is one sitting among you whose shoe latch I could not even untie. And he shall increase and I will decrease. I must decrease." Then one day he saw Christ and he baptized Christ. And the next day he saw John walking by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." People have to fall. If you don't fall, okay. Now end my message, problem came. "Come on, all my people, and back to the apostle father's faith." If you don't follow, you're still going and say, "Oh, yes." Like those who follow John, who are disciples of John. "Yes, yes, yes. He's the Lamb of God, we understand. But we love what you are preaching. Huh? We love what we are preaching." And those people who love what John was preaching and not follow the instruction, they never did become the disciple of Christ. And those who follow Brother Branham and never get into the Word of God, they are not the disciple of Christ. That's what you need to know. Being a follower of men. Yes, we follow men. Of course, we all tendency is to follow men. As Brother Branham would say, find the best teacher that you can find and stay with him. Okay, so you follow Brother Branham, follow whoever you want. But be a disciple of Christ. Get it? I'd rather that every one of you be a follower of Christ and a disciple of Christ at the same time. You know what a disciple is? Not just a follower. A disciple is one who follows his teaching and disciplines themselves in the way that Jesus Christ wants them to go. Huh? You see that? I remember there was a little, this Buddhist teaching. You probably have read it in my book. Maybe not, I can't remember. There were these two monks walking on a journey one day. And they came to a village and they came to a water, a river they had to cross. And then sitting beside the river on the rock was a young lady. You know, small young lady went across, but the water was too strong and she did not walk. You know, sometimes water has been so strong it can sweep away. So this two men say, "What can we do to help you?" Say, "I need to cross the river." So one of the men said, "I'll do it for you, I'll carry you." So carry her piggyback and go across the river. You know, when you cross over the river, he let the young lady off and said goodbye. And they went on the journey. After they traveled 1-2 kilometers down the road, the other monk said, "You know, you should not be doing that." I said, "Doing what?" "We carry the woman. We are monks. You shouldn't be carrying the woman. You know, you carry her like this and cross over the river." The monk said, "I'm not the one still carrying her. I already left her back there in the water, at the river. You are still carrying her. You understand what I mean?" You see, that is true. You know, So you see, people are so, if people don't know the truth, they get all entangled up with some semantics. And so I remember, Brother Bachi was telling Tommy, so Brother God, I'm going to read your book, I find it hard to comprehend the first time. When you said, the finger points to the moon, but the moon is not at the fingertip. Huh? You understand? To examine closely the semantic, people can get lost in the web of semantic. Huh? He said he couldn't understand. Of course, it's simple. When he said, that's the moon, don't look at the fingertip because the moon is not here. The moon, the fingertip is only pointing to the moon, so look where the finger is pointing. Don't look at the finger. So the same thing with the word of Brother Abraham or even the Bible. Don't look at the word. Look at what the word is pointing to, what the word is saying. You get it? You were trying to disciple that, you know, even the Bible, Hebrew, Greek word, you try to figure that out, you can get lost. You got to look at the whole picture as a whole. Huh? Because sometimes, you know, if you look at the jigsaw puzzle, if you cut out one part of the jigsaw puzzle and covered up the rest, the part, and ask the people, what do you think this is? You say, oh, it's a cow, you know, eating grass, that's about what you see. But what about the rest of the picture? Do you see the rest of the picture? You only see that. You only see the cow eating grass there. But what about the rest of this whole puzzle? You know. So it is important that to look at the whole picture, not be narrow-minded to look at one thing and you're lost in it. Matthew 17, and we have 10 to 13. Hear about Elijah. Restore word. And his upper asked him, saying, why then shall the scribe say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, Elijah shall surely come and restore all things. What is this all thing that Elijah supposed to restore? This is the problem here when people said in the message, oh, the restore word, the restore word. God give us the restore word. And that's the first, when I first read about it, I said, God, it sounds strange, because how can the word be lost? When Abraham says, come out of her, my people. Come out and get into the word. So what was he doing? He was getting the bride who was lost to the word to go back to the full word. The word was not lost. The word was not restored to us. But you turn to the bride of mine, they wouldn't listen. Brother Abraham, restore the word to us. Brother Abraham, restore the word to us. Was the word never lost? The word was never lost. The word has always been there. We were lost to the word. That's why we need to be brought back out of all this darkness of the system, back to the full word of God. The word wasn't lost. Oh, but the church do not know the doctrine of the Godhead. So, if they do not understand me, the word was lost to them, or they were lost to the word. Huh? They cannot see the forest because of the tree. They see the tree, so where is the forest? So it's a different thing altogether. So the word was never lost. So there's no such thing as restoration of the word. It's the restoration of the bride. Restoration of the bride back to the word, not the word to the bride. You see, there's a lot of things that you can say one way, but it's just not right. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Here we have what Peter said. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things that God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now here we have the restitution of all things, like what we read over in Matthew, where Jesus said, yes, Elijah must first come and restore all things. Who is this Elijah? This Elijah wasn't John the Baptist, neither was it Brother Branham. Because if you were to look into Malachi 4, 5, and 6, we read early on, behold, I send Elijah the prophet, and shall turn the heart of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to the father, right? before I come and smite the earth, the curse. Now, that prophecy, that's what the Jew were looking for. Because they know that they are expecting their Messiah, the King, to put the kingdom back for them. But before he comes, Elijah must come and put them in the position to receive them. So all they will be restored by what Elijah will preach or taught or teach them. And that is when the two witnesses will come in the 70th week of Daniel. When Elijah will come, that's when they will know what they have missed out. Put them in a position so that when Christ comes, he will set the kingdom up for them. So if you misread all this information in the Bible, then you get all messed up. Alright? Okay. Come on, let me close. John chapter 5, verse 39. I was told that search the entire message. Search the entire message. When people ask you a question, what would you do? Back in the 70s, when the Lord made known to me that I would travel, when I started traveling in 1981, I completely do not know lots of things. I go with my Bible to India, to Philippines and all. And the Lord told me, he said, do not worry about what you should say. Because in the hour when it comes, it will be given to you what to say. So, we have ministers meeting, and people just pop a question like that. And we have to look into the Bible. I stood on a pulpit, just look into the Bible. Sometimes I ask a minister to help me find out where the verse is, because I can remember, but I may not pinpoint the exact place where the verse and the books are. So we have to look into the Bible and give the answer. Not such the end time message book of Brother Branham. Not such the spoken book of Brother Branham. That's why we need to give an answer to every man who asks of our faith. And Brother Branham said we minister are responsible to help the sheep, provide them the answer from the scripture when they have questions. You know. But of course, I have been to some convention where there are mixed people, foreign preachers with that, and questions were asked. Mr. Right now, I'll give the answer tomorrow. He go back to the hotel, turn on his computer, laptop, and start to search through the entire message books of Brother Branham, messenger of Brother Branham, and then quote all those quotes to them. No. The Bible here said, verse 39, chapter 5, John, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there are they which testify of me. Search the scripture, there are they that have in them you find eternal life. They testify of me. Another place Jesus said, in the volume of book, it is written of me. He is the Word. That's why the Bible is called the Book of Life. And that's why we have to eat the book, we have to eat the living Word of God, the revelation of it. Not eat the message. Eat the little book. What was the little book in the hand of mighty angel that came down? It's this book. The sealed book that was sealed with seven seals that was opened up. It became a little book because the angel became a big angel, because that's why he put his right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land, right? He is not standing on the seaside. He's a mighty angel. He healed visions. And so the seal that was in the one sitting on the throne in chapter 5 of Revelation, when it came to the hands of the mighty angel, it becomes small because he's big. And John was told to eat the little book. And so this book has become a little book when we see the visions of the person who is the book. You understand what I'm saying? You know. So we need to really look at how the Word shows us, alright? Alright, and because of course the evening star, we have in the evening time message, Rabban was a type of the evening star. And he came to point us to the light, which is the sun. We know all stars reflect the sunlight. You are a star too, am I not? In the heaven, we are also called stars, because that's what Abraham was told. Count the number of stars if you can. Huh? And why is it called star? Because the messenger. And every one of us is a witness. And you are the messenger. And we are supposed to reflect the sunlight. Amen. And what is the original seed? The spoken word is the original seed. Again, what is the spoken word? Oh, the word that Abraham was spoke. That's why it's called a spoken word book. So all the tapes are the spoken word of Brother Branham. They are the original seed. I beg your pardon, you Branhamites. What is the original seed? When, before anything ever happened in this whole universe and doesn't exist, there's only Almighty God, the only Mighty Spirit. Right? He's the only Mighty Spirit. He hasn't even spoken a word. He comes of it himself. Everything when he comes of it himself and is satisfied with all that which he wants to do, he step out of that light in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That's the beginning. When the Word stood out and he said, he began to speak. So that is the original Word. The spoken word is the original seed, and that was Christ. God birthed him. And when the word starts out, the light that was spoken by God, he is the original seed. And there is only one, not seeds. Original seed. When God brought forth the Logos, you and I were inside there. We and I were part of that original seed. Do you know that? Obviously. We must be born of the same. We must be born of that seed, of that word. If you are not born of that word, we don't have eternal life. So the original spoken word, the original seed, point to none other but Christ Jesus. Not to the books of Brother Branham, not to the tapes of Brother Branham. They say, this is the written word. That is, Abraham's book is the written, spoken word. The spoken word of Abraham is original seed. This is not. You are trying to say that then. Let myself put this away. Take Abraham's book. There's always challenge them. When they come and argue with me like that, I say, which one will you take? When you're given one of two choices. The Bible or the books of Brother Branham? Some of them say, no, I'm not going to answer that question. I said, obviously you will choose that. Then you have forgotten about this. You will be standing in judgment. I want to say this. We all have to give an account of the word that we speak, the word that we say. Because by your confession, you stand or you fall. What are you standing on? Christ the solid rock, Christ the word, or Brother Branham, the servant of God? What do you stand on? They have so many misinterpreted what Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. They have misinterpreted even that. They think that by following Brother Branham, they're okay. They're going to be very sorry. They're going to be very sorry for it. Because many preachers have led followers astray. Okay, another point I want to make quickly. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, who led them out of Egypt? Who led them out of Egypt? Moses. Moses means, the name Moshua means to draw out from the water. And that's what was Moses. Remember his mother put him in the little basket and they was put out there, river now, thrown, and the princess saw it and then took him out of the water. So Moses means to draw out of the water. And what does water represent spiritually? We are the raging water. The Gentiles are the water. And we are lost and trapped up there in the system. And so God sent Brother Branham with the message to draw us out of the watery grave of man-made system. You understand? Draw us out. Okay, now. Who took the children into the promised land? Moses? No. Joshua? Not Moses. So why Joshua? We know, of course, what Moses did. That's not the issue. Here, God is showing us a picture. Brother Abraham put us out from the system to ask us to go back to the world, right? But who take the children of Israel into the promised land and divided up the land for them? Joshua. Joshua means Jesus is the Savior. And that's what the fivefold ministry is, the voice of the archangels. And the fivefold ministry with the apostle ministry take the people into the word and then what? Divide the word for them. All these are type and shadow, they cannot fail. And Elijah's Eliezer's chemistry. Well known story, even the song that we sometimes sing about it. Genesis 24. Eliezer was told by Moses to go get a bride for Isaac. Yeah, went back to the homeland. And Abraham to go back to the homeland. And the homeland is where? In Babylon. Babylon region, Mesopotamia, Ur of Chaldee. That's back into the place where he came up from. Back to his own homeland where is Ur of Chaldee. Not in Canaanite. Not in the Canaan land, because there were giants, those people are wicked. I don't want that. Go back to my own kindred. Get a bride for my kindred. At least they are my blood people. Alright, so he went back to Ur of Chaldee. Not really in the city of Babylon, but Ur of Chaldee, Mesopotamian land. And took Rebekah. And came back. You know all the story that you read in the Bible about Eliezer. When they got back to the place in the evening, Isaac was out in the field, Rebekah saw him, and asked Eliezer, who is that? Eliezer, that's your master. And she quickly veiled herself and lighted the camel in such a haste. And Isaac go and pick her up and bring her to his mother Sarah's tent, which means that they were wed. You understand? They were married. They entered into wedlock. So what happened to Eliezer? Anybody would know that from that time on, you never read about Eliezer anymore. Not even one mention of Eliezer. You know that, don't you? Nothing mentioned. Eliezer took the camel into the camel stable, and that's the end of it. But that put us back to Isaac, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. The bride and the bridegroom is in the marriage chamber. Somebody asked me a question. Brother God, are you saying the bridegroom is not in the bride? You know the way they say things like that. How come I did this? Just only types and shadows. Can't you see? Huh? Of course, bridegroom is part of the bride. You know, but here we're talking about the picture that is presenting. It is showing us. Is it? You know? But some people are still riding. They're still riding on the camel train. This is the message. They say, oh, I'm still riding on the message because I haven't seen my Isaac yet. So terrible, but so pitiful. They haven't seen their Isaac yet. Huh? They're only going to see the Isaac in the rapture. Oh, no, no, no. If you cannot see the Isaac now, how can you see the Isaac in the rapture? There's a Paul said, I know, we know Jesus can no more in the flesh, but we see Jesus. Right? Yes. You know. You are spiritual born children of God. And that's why in Matthew 25 we see the marriage, we see the temple gene, the marriage of the Lamb, the picture that is shown there. It cannot go wrong. 1 John 1:5, we're close now. 1 John 1:5, or 2-3 more verses. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared to you. God is light, in him is no darkness. John 1:9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God is light. In him is no darkness. John, the same John that wrote it in verse 9 of chapter 1 of John. That was the true light. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ. That was the true light. Not a man called Branham. Not even Paul, not even Peter, not even any of the prophets in the Old Testament. Because there's only one true light. When the light shine on them, apostles and prophets, even shine on you, you're supposed to reflect light too. But there is only one true light. Huh? You know, it's time now that, as I said, I have to separate from all this fanatic. We can even see types and shadows. Abraham was called out of Ur Chaldees to go to Canaan. But here came Lot, the nephew. He wasn't called. But he wanted to come and join. So he came along. Over the period of time, they were okay, but then there was a fight between Abraham's men, the hurdles up there, with Lot's men. So much so, there was so much a big dispute. And so Abraham said, okay, Lord, you choose where. This is such a big land here. You go north, I go south, I go east, I go west. Choose. I'll go opposite direction. So Lot chose the other direction to where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Huh? You see that? That's what carnality sets in. Mark my words, all the counter preacher and that message, they have all the things that's going on. Okay? So that's twice now he's separated. Not only Abraham separated from his kindred man in Mesopotamia, he also separated from Lot, who is a make believer. And then we also have Amos of the tree. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? So, for what we believe, brother and sister, it is not possible to walk with those who are not in agreement with you. If they can agree with the Bible itself, I have no problem. As Baba would say, if you believe that Christ is coming back riding on white horses, and another group says that we believe that he's coming back on clouds, no problem. Huh? We can still walk together. As long as you take the Bible. And we can always try to look at the Bible. Even though we don't agree on something, no problem. I always say this. If you think you are right and I'm wrong, put what you believe I'm wrong on the shelf. Don't fight it. If you can see some light that what I say to you has some scripture verses, and yet you say, I disagree with you, don't fight it. Put it on the shelf. And by, God will show it to you. And that's what I told the brother over in Ghana. The pastor who wrote it to Brother Jackson and I, lots of questions. And I wrote back to him, I said, brother, Brother Jackson may be right, I may be wrong. He may be wrong, I may be right. But you cannot see that this time, put it on the shelf. Maybe the Lord will show you later on. After so many years, when I met him a few years ago, he apologized to me. The thing is this, don't fight it. If anything they have some scripture basis, don't fight it. Just leave it. But if it's not, it's fanatic, then you can see that it's not even scripture based. Then it's a different story altogether. Amen? So we thank the Lord for His word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, time for us to spend again, Lord. We are grateful, Father, for the hour that we have with You. We ask for Your grace to always move with us in this life. Walk with us, talk with us, O Lord, guide us. And we pray that the Spirit that You've given to us, O Lord, would guide us into all truth and teach us, O Lord, of things to come. Show us, Father, how we believe in and how serious it is in this hour that we live in, O Father, that we should walk in the light of the Word closely each and every day. Father, forgive us our weakness, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, our shortcoming. And if there be anything that's in our heart, O Lord, that is not right towards a brother or a sister or towards something, O Lord, that we just get all upset about, we ask that, Lord, You help us to understand that all things, O Lord, that happen to us in this life is already known to You. And that You see us true, Father, and deal with us, Father. We commit, O Lord, all the needs of everyone here in this fellowship into Your hand, that You look at it and, Father, and answer it in due time. We commit all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.